ABC Radio Brisbane, you're listening to Rebecca Livingston.
9:45. When you think of artificial intelligence, what comes to mind? Maybe Siri on your phone, or maybe the ever-elusive Facebook algorithm? AI can often feel like something that's distant, something that kind of super smart tech nerds take care of. But it is in your everyday life. As computers get smaller and more powerful, technology gets better, and artificial intelligence will become more and more integrated into your life, whether you like it or even realise it. Tim Huang is an expert in the ethics of AI, artificial intelligence, and machine learning. He's done a lot of work to ensure machine learning and autonomous technologies are researched, developed, and deployed in the public interest. Tim, are you protecting us all from robots?
trying to.
Welcome to Brisbane.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You are here for the 2019 Something Digital Conference.
That's right.
Where are you from normally? Where are you based?
So usually based in Los Angeles, and just here for a few days, first time in Australia.
Okay, so what's the guts of your work in LA, and how does it apply to my listeners here in Brisbane?
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of our work for my research focuses on essentially how do we make sure that AI is going to be deployed in an ethical way. This is an amazing technology that's leading to these big breakthroughs in health, in consumer technologies, but often the people deploying them aren't really thinking about the implications of the technology before they put them out into the world. And so our work is trying to make sure that they think twice before they do certain things.
Yeah, all right. Can I just strip it right back to the basics? What is artificial intelligence?
Yeah, so I think this is a great question to start on, because when you talk about AI, you always think about the Terminator or HAL 9000 or something like that. But really, the field of AI is really the study of algorithms that get smarter with data. And so this is a technology that you've seen used in all sorts of technologies that you don't even think of as AI, right? So the Facebook news feed, right? Or searching on Google. These are all AI systems. A lot of these breakthroughs are being used every single day, and we don't even think about it as AI.
It's not something, obviously, that the tech experts need to get permission to use. Should people be concerned about AI encroaching on their lives, or welcome it?
So I think the question is really important, because I think right now the technology is being deployed, but often people, A, don't really know that it's happening, and B, even if they do know what's happening, they don't really know how the system is being used and how it makes decisions about them. And so this allows things like, for example, discrimination and bias, for example, to seep into some of these systems. Mm. And so part of it is the transparency that I and other researchers worry about.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't necessarily go behind the scenes and look at the motives and the morals of the people who develop AI, can you?
No, and in many cases, what's interesting about AI is that even the researchers, they don't have nefarious purposes, but they find that, you know, they train a facial recognition system, and it turns out that if you have darker toned skin, it just doesn't work as well for you, right? And so I think we're discovering now that these technologies have been rolled out without a whole lot of foresight or kind of deep thinking, that they're having all these negative impacts on society.
So there's discrimination in artificial intelligence.
That's right. So one of the interesting patterns that researchers are finding is that if you train a system on biased data, it will render biased results. And so this is very concerning when you think about AI systems being used, say, in the criminal justice system.
Tim Huang, all the way from Los Angeles, here for the 2019 Something Digital Conference that pulls together some of the best digital heads around the world. It's happening here in Brisbane over the next couple of days. Can you give me some other examples of everyday interaction people might have with artificial intelligence?
Sure, definitely. There's probably two that people aren't so aware of. You know, I think one of them is in surveillance. So it turns out that actually a lot of cities now have CCTV and kind of closed circuit cameras everywhere in the city. Those are now being enhanced with AI. So the notion is that you can use AI to try to figure out, oh, is this someone that we've seen before in one part of the city, and now do they appear somewhere else? So I think that's one use that people don't usually see or think about. A second one is that we're starting to see AI being used in the hiring process to filter through resumes. And the idea here is, why, you know, have to manually sift through all these resumes when we could just have a machine do it for us? Which is all well and good, but really starts to raise these questions when you realize that some of these systems may have gender bias built into them, racial bias built into them. And I think there's a lot of work right now trying to figure out, okay, so how do we deal with that?
Yeah, in terms of facial recognition. That's incredibly timely. I know you only flew to Brisbane from Los Angeles, what, 2 days ago?
Oh, 2 days ago, yeah, very jet lagged.
I don't know how across federal politics you are in this country at the moment, but we just had an Intelligence and Security Committee that has ordered the government to essentially go back to the drawing board on laws. They were looking to establish a national facial recognition database, and there were very serious concerns about citizens' rights being protected in that.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Australia is really leading the way in this respect. I think increasingly you're starting to see a lot of countries say, you know, is this a kind of technology that we want to have? And do we want to build these big databases of facial data, right, which are so personal and, you know, might be manipulated in all these other ways? And so I think it's very timely that this is happening.
I mean, the heart of the concerns is the idea of mass surveillance of citizens. I'm surprised to hear you say Australia is leading the way. Is that right?
I mean, certainly in thinking about, you know, whether or not facial recognition is something that you want, I think that's the really big question. I think in many cases what we're talking about is, does the public have the right to choose whether or not they want these technologies in the first place? And I think a lot of that relies on you being able to know when these technologies are being considered and where they're being deployed.
Yeah. A lot of people think of China as being a place where facial recognition technology is in place and functional.
Yep.
What about in America?
Yeah, as well. So there's been a lot of activism around this, increasingly because there's a number of companies offering products to, say, law enforcement or national security agencies, basically saying, hey, we can enhance your surveillance with facial recognition. And so I think there's a lot of local activism at the state level and then also federal activism saying, well, hold on here. Maybe we don't necessarily want to have this right now.
Okay, so it's not in place yet in America? Or?
Oh, we are seeing these technologies being deployed in a lot of urban areas at the moment.
All right, I want to take a little sidestep here. Can we talk about deep fakes?
Sure, happy to.
Can you just explain what deep fakes are?
Sure. So deep fakes are basically a new method that have been talked about a lot recently, but essentially it's the technique of synthesizing video and audio using machine learning. And using this technology, you can create these very believable fake videos of people, or you can create very believable simulations of their voice saying something that they never said before.
So believable. In fact, I saw one not too long ago, which was a comedian who was sitting on an American talk show. And he started to do an impersonation of Tom Cruise, and his face merged into Tom Cruise's face. It was done so smoothly. I thought my eyes were playing.
Yeah, I've seen the video. It's very scary. Yeah,
it's scary. It's kind of funny because it's like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah,
ha ha ha.
Sure.
But then there was this creeping dark undertone for me at a time when the pool of journalists is shrinking in a world where you got to work harder and harder to establish the facts and get rid of so-called fake news, thanks to your president. you know, in terms of deep fakes and the role and the confusion and the misinformation that they could contribute to politics, does that concern you?
It does, yeah. And I think there's a lot of work going on right now, both in the kind of research space to try to say, okay, if we think these technologies are going to be used for all sorts of bad purposes, can we get, you know, as good as at detection, right? Can we ensure that there's a little bit of balance of power between the people creating fakes and our ability to detect the fakes? And
I
it's
know.
A little bit of an arms race, right? So
yeah. Well, that's what I want to know. Are you, and I'm hoping you're a good guy, Tim Huang, are you going to be able to keep up with those who would seek to confuse and cause chaos?
I mean, I tend to be an optimist, and I think there's a nuance here. So I'm optimistic just because I see a lot of really interesting work being done in detecting deepfakes. So one of the really interesting things that came out recently is that a lot of these deepfakes are trained on lots of images with people with their eyes open. And so a couple of researchers found out recently that deepfakes actually, they blink a lot less frequently than a real human would.
Oh.
And you can use these kinds of techniques to detect whether or not something is real or not. And I think those types of approaches are really promising and very interesting. But I think there's also an important nuance here, which is I don't want us to necessarily get distracted, right? Because people, of course, are fooled by fake narratives all the time, even in the absence of deepfakes. Mm. And so I don't want the technology to distract us from the real problem, right? Which is, can your average user on the internet discern what's true and what's not? And can we really understand why people spread fake narratives? And so it's easy to get carried away with the technology, but I think it's also important to focus on these kind of cognitive, psychological factors of why fake news spreads.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think the trust in information online, probably rightly so, is rapidly diminishing. Mm. And yeah, maybe that's a good thing, ultimately. Mm. I don't know. Time will tell. Tim, great to have you in Australia, albeit briefly. When do you fly back to Los Angeles?
Oh, tomorrow at 6 a.m., so it's early morning for me.
It's just crazy. Next time you're here, stay for longer.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Tim Huang, an expert in the ethics of artificial intelligence and machine learning.